Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Folks, we are now joined by the CEO of the Jazz and Heritage Festival Foundation, Blake Anthony Johnson. He is new to New Orleans, comes to us from Chicago, if my memory serves me correct. And he started transitioning in October of 24 and officially started here in January of 25. This is your first Jazz Fest.
Yes.
What do you think?
It's amazing. You know, the team is incredible. And my main job, I always joke with everyone, is to just stay out of everyone's way and enjoy.
Yeah. A good leader knows when to just kind of step back and watch, right?
Yes.
So, Chicago, New Orleans, a lot of similarities, a lot of differences, though. Your first impressions here?
Well, my mother was born here, so luckily I spent quite a bit of time here as a kid. And so I think, you know, most cities are more similar than not. But what makes New Orleans, of course, unique is just the history goes back much further. So it's a cool place to be. And I love, you know, it's such a privilege, obviously, to be at the helm of such an amazing organization that has just stories upon stories. I travel all around the world and people have Jazz Fest stories and people send me pictures all the time of their flags posted in their yards all over the country. So I love the role.
I got to imagine that that's got to be very rewarding to hear these stories. I mean, just as a traveler, and when I say I'm from New Orleans, to have people tell me about their Jazz Fest experiences, and they may have a festival in their own town, and I'm like, well, I really want to get up, you know, here to go to your festival, and they tell me, no, no, you know, just go to Jazz Fest in New Orleans.
Yeah. And what makes this job so rewarding is Jazz Fest in itself stands on its own. And with us being one of the largest festivals in the world, and for sure in the country, we have all these other things that we do year-round that Jazz Fest actually pays for. So they get to learn about our presenting arm and our programmatic arm and our education initiatives and our international exchanges and our philanthropy. There's so much that this actually fuels, so it's a great time to actually meet with everyone in person and kind of connect the dots a little bit.
So you, I understand, are a cellist by training. So I want you to know that today, what are the odds of this? Johnny Sketch joined me. He's a cellist. And Helen Guille joined me. She's a cellist. You're a cellist. Three cellists in the same day on this list. As I was looking at it late last night, I said, I got to go buy a lottery ticket.
It was pretty good. I always joke with my students, if you Google, like, why are pianists or why are oboists? It's all these like weird things, like why are they, you know, so boring or why are they so serious? But if you Google why are jealous, it's like, why are they so fun? Like, why are they everywhere? Yeah. You know, we're good people. We're good stock. We're good stock.
But, you know, it's just funny when you pick up on these little nuances. You talked about, you know, the festival being bigger than the festival and a lot about the programs. I love the music programs that y'all do for kids.
Yes.
When I was sheriff, I started a band for underprivileged kids, and I used to tell the kids that, you know, probably less than 2% of the people in the world know how to play a musical instrument, and I said, you're actually playing one and marching at the same time. That's probably only 1% of the population of the world. Do you know how special you are? And it's amazing how they don't really appreciate just how unique that talent that they have, that y'all are pulling out of them and nurturing and promoting, which I love. I love the programs that y'all are behind.
Yeah, you know, our flagship education program is the Heritage School of Music. It's free school throughout the year, every single day. And I love it because I can hear them when I'm leaving my office because it's the next building over. And I always tell people, you know, the power of music, I lived it. You know, right. I was self-taught until I was 18. I was fortunate to have really famous teachers like Yo-Yo Ma, Lynn Harrell, and Felix Wong.
Yo-Yo?
Kind of created, yeah, my whole career.
Oh, my
and
God.
So when I see these young students, I see their eyes light up, and I see that confidence when they get off stage, or I see that confidence once they get to meet their heroes, is a really cool spot for the foundation to really have tentacles, not just through our community festivals, but also through the school and the insert, kind of connecting with the community-based organizations in the city. So I love it, and that's honestly is the best reminder of why the work is so important and what kind of gives you urgency, because, you know, we're not necessarily saving lives, but you can change it quite literally. And so I love that the foundation really kind of focuses and hones in on education.
What, you know, you guys have always stayed current, and you've been nimble. And I talked to Quint earlier about all of the changes in music, the changes in food prep and this and that. And the festival has always seemed to stay right on the cutting edge. What's next for you guys?
I'm going to get myself in trouble because they're probably like, I don't want to hear this from Blake Anthony on the radio. But what I will say is, you know, the teams, especially Quint and his team that are really responsible for all the magic that happens on the grounds, they're really good at not just looking at what do people need and want right now, but anticipating what they might want or need in the future. And so we're constantly talking about anything that you can think about, whether it be activations or whether it be music or whether it be how you like cross-pollinate some of the different genres or the just the layout, the customer experience. So I say we have a lot of things for sure on the list, but I probably will behave and not get myself in trouble launching anything too soon.
You're a smart man, Charlie Brown.
But we have
especially
ideas.
Just starting in January, right?
Yes, yes. I'm always joking. I'm like, I'm not known necessarily for being too timid, so I would say you can expect
it is safe to say, though, you know, obviously the organization very much involved in legacy planning. That's why you're here, right?
Absolutely.
Succession planning, understanding where we're going next in order to keep this going. And that's what's so amazing about this festival. It has survived the test of time in so many different ways, right?
Yes.
When you think 56 years, I think 54 actual festivals, if my memory serves me correct. I mean, that speaks volumes right there, right?
Yeah, you know, people get... they get literally married on the grounds. Yeah. They get proposed on the grounds. They, you know, there is so much more.
They get in trouble on the grounds.
Yeah, they get in trouble. Good trouble. All good trouble. But I think this idea of a festival being more than just entertainment, but really a part of your family stewardship in terms of how they get to know each other, how they get to know the city, how they get to know the world. One of the reasons why we have so many of these cultural expos is because world culture is New Orleans culture, and New Orleans culture is world culture. So I love all of these people who might otherwise not have this shared experience and story, but we have that, you know, 55 years plus.
Yeah. I mean, it's really absolutely incredible when you think about it. In your wildest dreams, did you think that you would be the CEO of the Jazz and Heritage Foundation?
Truthfully, no. And we joke a lot because, you know, my background, of course, my career was touring as a classical cellist. And so my birthday happens to be the 4th of July weekend. So I sent the team a bunch of pictures of me at festivals literally my whole life.
Right.
And so never did I actually imagine that I'd be overseeing one of the biggest ones in the country. But I think the beauty of that is it makes it so special. Like, I'm in love with every single, you know, vendor, every single stage, every single blade of grass. And make sure it's got, you know, I really appreciate the magic that happens on here because, like I said, it's not just the 2 weeks. This bleeds over for many, many years. People, they remember their time here, and they remember the people they spent it with.
Well, as the CEO, you have to be the biggest cheerleader for the entire organization.
It's easy,
right?
When you have such an amazing team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, y'all execute things here. I was an operations guy, and we showed up here this morning, 8:20, like we do, you know, for a 10 o'clock show. So I walk around, and I just observe, and it's amazing. the pieces and parts falling together.
The team is great, and you know, the city is also a really good partner. Obviously, you know, we have so many other partners at NLPD. Like, I mean, there's so many people that quite frankly do not just what they're supposed to do, but way beyond, because they really understand the magic that happens here. And so, you know, that's also what makes New Orleans a little unique.
Yeah, absolutely. Final thoughts?
My final thoughts is, you know, I want people to enjoy Jazz Fest, but I also want them to check us out at jazzandheritage.org. The reality is we have programming pretty much every week of the year, and it's all throughout the world. It's not just here in New Orleans, but we really try really hard to steward our culture and heritage as best we can. So I say just check us out at jazzandheritage.org.
And you guys just stepped into historic preservation as well. I read an article, which is very important too.
Right? We did, yeah. So right now in our archives and preservation, we have a lot of assets on the West Coast. We have some at the Smithsonian on the East Coast, and then we have various kind of storage facilities in the Midwest. But the idea is to kind of broaden our footprint a little bit and make it even more accessible. So you'll keep seeing little articles and then a few big articles, and then that's 6 to 12 months.
He's still playing it close to the vest.
I am. I'm behaving.
Now, this interview might be a little different at 5 o'clock this afternoon, yeah. Right?
I'm a smart man for that part. I chose wisely on that part.
Just teasing with you, my friend. Blake Anthony Johnson, congratulations on your new opportunity here, new position. We're so glad to have you, and welcome home.
Thank you.
Your new home.
My pleasure.
Alrighty.
Yes, it's great.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. We'll check in with Nick Hazard from Miller Lite when we return. Stay with us.